So thank you, Emily, and thank you, everyone, for being here at the end of a very busy day to help with my bona fides of being from New Orleans. I would like to also speak to what you can do after the session. For $1 and one quarter, you can hop on the Green Street car, and you can go down St. Charles Avenue. It is the nicest streetcar. And you can go until it turns along the river and get to Oak Street, which is nice and walkable, and you can walk to Giacomo's. Get there at 5 or 5:30. They do not take reservations. Fill yourself with alligator sausage cheesecake, stick around, and then go next door to the Maple Leaf to hear the Rebirth Brass Band. Anybody from New Orleans? Anyone? Dr. Purcell Wood, am I right? Thank you. Thank you. So, my name is Albert Trillian, and with a name like that, I should be either sales or population health. That said, kind of chosen both. I'm here to speak on behalf not only of the National Council on Aging, but of the Aging Network. And if you're not aware, the Aging Network is substantially smaller than public health. It's fun to come to New Orleans because I feel like Kal-El landing on planet Earth. It's fun to come to the APHA and speak to the Aging Network because I feel like I know public health pretty well. The National Council on Aging is a national nonprofit. It is not a federal organization. It is an advocacy organization. We do have funding from foundations, but also from the federal government, from the Administration for Community Living, which is the smallest part of health and human services, a lot smaller than the CDC. Social impact, millions of older adults, improving their lives, mainly through, and because I'm so busy, I don't have anything else to disclose. I'm a bleeding heart overall. Mainly through healthy aging and economic security projects. So with the National Council on Aging, we have the Center for Healthy Aging, but also the Self-Management Alliance, My Medicare Matters, some things that help seniors take advantage of the resources available to them through different online and interactive formats. We do an employment service program with funding from the Department of Labor, and we also help address senior hunger with funding from other resource centers. So, today I am here to pull a rabbit out of a hat. I am here to speak on behalf of the Aging Network, which is senior resource centers, about 11,000 of them. We do accredit about 1,000 of them, not quite the public health accreditation that departments go through, but something that has some gravity and tries to get us to a standardization. We also support chronic disease self-management education with 22 state grantees, and recently have funding to support falls prevention resource, state grantees through a resource center. Both of these resource centers offer strategic and ad hoc technical assistance. We have done a national study. We do some research, but not a lot. A national Flu Plus U program. And then we do this survey, the United States on Aging Survey. And this is my rabbit out of the hat. The survey is funded by the United Health Group in partnership with the National Association for Area Agencies on Aging, which has the coolest URL. It's the letter 4, N4A. Love that. And the USA Today. So it really is a survey of aging adults in this country, which mirrors the U.S. Census. I'll get to that in a second. Some background on the problem, of course, Medicare beneficiaries and chronic conditions, the importance of evidence-based programs, as we've heard, and I frankly think that the reason that men aren't there is we just can't suck in our guts long enough to exercise with women. That's what it gets down to. But also, we want to make sure we're mindful of health reform and the opportunities that encourage the linkage between healthcare and community-based organizations. different demonstration projects that work with existing quality initiatives in primary care, such as the patient-centered medical home, and that primary care infrastructure, which was reinforced in expansion of community health centers, et cetera, et cetera. So timely information about health reform's impact, especially on aging adults, is hard to obtain. There are three federal surveys that seek to gauge the impact of health reform. The National Health Interview Survey, the Current Population Survey, and the American Community Survey, but these are not rapid enough to really get to the work that's happening from phase one to phase two of health reform. So there is another survey called the Health Reform Monitoring Survey, which is a quarterly survey. The problem with that is that it does not survey aging adults. It stops at 64. So what I've tried to do is to take our United States of Aging annual survey and to hammer it into a mirror of the Health Reform Monitoring Survey. That's my rabbit out of the hat. We want to study the trends of aging adults' self-rated health status and health reform-related experiences. I'll get to limitations at the end. They are substantial. Their experience with public payment, and I did bring in TRICARE with Medicare and Medicaid. Medicaid for those aging adults that may be dually eligible. Enrollment in private payment. I stratify the ages. I went from 60 through 85, so you have the 60 to 64 crowd. Access to a health care provider and access to community-based organizations. There were several questions that addressed these different variables, and I created new variables, partly by dichotomizing and then bringing them together, mainly focusing on those community-based organizations that were offering self-management programs. Access to healthcare provider went to physicians, primary care, and specialists, but also physicians, assistants, and nurse practitioners. To examine how self-reported good health is associated with health reform-related experiences from 2012 to 2014. So some more about the survey. Consulting firm conducted phone interviews among a nationally represented samples of following groups, general population, national seniors. Two of the surveys in 2013 and 2014 actually surveyed all age groups for those comparisons. I am not doing that. That is not part of this analysis. Weighted against the U.S. Census Bureau data, these demographics were captured. These are the bona fides. So these are the surveys. Sample size of about 1,000 for all 3 years. We will see for 2013 to 2014 an extra effort toward non-aging adults. And the way that worked was if they got to the age, some questions simply weren't asked. The survey overall was an impressive instrument that captured not only healthy aging, but also economic security, housing. It was a very broad survey. For purposes of this, I went only towards specific sections around healthy aging, some around physical health related to access to private insurance or public coverage. So, the main variables, my hammered together variables. Public insurance coverage, you'll see them for each year from 2012 through 2014. Some descriptives to help us get a broader look. And no real differences aside from access community-based organizations. Working toward chi-squared analysis, which is just helping to frame up the regression models work that I did, some correlation between good or improved health and some of these variables. The reason I left the payment piece out of this is because the regression models were broken out by type of payment. And this is where you see some movement. but not a lot. There's significance for 2013 and 2014 for public coverage in the model that featured community-based organizations, experiences of those in self-management programs, and regular visits to clinicians' offices or regular interactions with clinicians. Private insurance is significant in all 3 years. For those stratified aging adults aged 60 to 64, none of the models were significant. Now, getting to some discussion points around the analysis, there are some points to take into consideration. A trend of older adults, again, increasingly accessing community-based organizations. Part of this could be because different programs were paid for by Medicaid, such as diabetes self-management training, if the trainer goes through a certain curriculum. They have to go through that curriculum, and then they can bill Medicare. Good health was self-reported, but the improvement was very gradual across all 3 years. There were significant models in both payment forms. They suggest the success of ongoing efforts to integrate conventional health care, but don't speak to it specifically. Why? Because these were cross-sectional surveys, and they are certain points in time. There's no trajectory here, and these were not the same respondents surveyed all 3 years. The data was self-reported, but most importantly, and this is the rabbit out of the hat, this is not a health reform survey. I made it a health reform survey. That said, it will be very important to look at these results very carefully and to make sure that as we consider some of these other efforts to gauge the success of health reform, that we use these to interpret or help inform what's being read here, but to be very careful with the rabbit that I pulled out of this hat. That said, I'm happy to answer any questions, or we can wait till the end when you forget about them. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Any questions for Dr. Trillian?
There is no plan to do that. In fact, the people that created the survey, it's not in their sights that it's necessary. Partly because the different ways that health reform affects seniors. I think the community-based organization integration with healthcare, I think, is an opportunity, but for the sake of their cross-sectional surveys, it's not on their radar, and it's not important for them. It's not. Excellent. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very much. I will say that it's an increasingly important question for us to figure out ways to gauge the integration of self-management, of the diabetes self-management, of chronic disease self-management, and all of the evidence-based programs. So the Self-Management Alliance, of which I'm a director, we're creating the indicators right now, and it's a partnership between the CDC, between CMS, and between the National Committee for Quality Assurance. And it's very difficult to create these indicators. We're going on a socio-ecological scale from individual through health plans, policy, and we're building them step by step. But it's taking a tremendous amount of time. And once we have them, they still have to go through cognitive testing, construct validity. They have to show that they're gauging what we say they're gauging. And then we have to work to get them into surveys to get that knowledge. Dr. Fine. I'm not sure that this research can inform the vast research of self-reported health. I think that with a little more complex instrument, we could suss some of the intricacies out, especially for aging adults. But this survey, and you'll see the survey, and it really, and that's where you'll see this really wrap it out of the hat. That this is a branding survey mainly for the NCOA, and it's a chance for us to partner with USA Today and to get those snippets of information about the aging population, real small descriptive things that go on their front page. So there's real limits to the instrument. Yes, yes.
Is there funding mechanisms to connect primary care with community organizations in the affordable care?
Oh, absolutely there are. I would say there's a number of different funding models that are out there. Early this morning, I presented on health impact bonds in this project in California, in Fresno. Very discrete projects, though. Very small projects, because when you look at innovative funding and you're looking for that investment, there's a need for the immediate return. The broader you get, the more population level you get, the more time it takes, and the more impatience you have with different funders to wait for that return. And I think that was a key takeaway from the session this morning, that they are out there, but it's really happening at some very localized levels. Demonstration projects for that are ACA related are getting some attention right now, but there's going to be some time to see if those are really working and what that means.
Sorry, there's time for one more question for Dr. Chilian.
She'll beat you up. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, you say that you're part of USA Today and also have snippets of information. Maybe I missed it, but will some of those snippets be able to show savings in healthcare utilization dollars by partnering with community-based organizations? That is happening.
Absolutely it is. But I think it gets to the weakness of the instrument. They're only descriptives, and they're only broken down in a very surface way for USA Today readers. What I've done is I've gone in and I think I'm the only one that's done this kind of analysis on this instrument. And in doing it and sussing that out, you realize what the limits of the instrument are. I'm thinking that we have a chance to add some questions in the coming years and to see what happens. And so that's where we are now related to this instrument. And what we can do, how much can we do with it? When I said I was going to do something across those years, the consultant that implements it kind of looked at me sideways. So it's one of these things. It was a fun thing to give a try, and we'll see what we can do with next year's survey.
Yeah, I think it's a great start, and I think the way to get the dollars flowing is to show the utilization savings.
You're right. There's the Care First out in California has done a fantastic study on integrated self-management with healthcare. The analysis was done by a George Mason professor that showed that return. It was a very small project, but San Diego County's AAA out there too, Brenda Schwemwetter, has done some fantastic work in this and has set up an exchange by which primary care can go and find self-management programs. It's like a health insurance exchange, but it's a self-management exchange. And I'll be happy to talk to you after the session. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.